You know, if you're going to go on a hike, there are probably a lot of things people would say you need. Some will tell you got to have the right shoes. Make sure you got a map. Make sure you got something to protect you from the sun. Know where you're going. But of course, the number one thing you're going to hear is got to have water. And you know, if you do a quick search and ask how much water do I need for a hike, generally someone will find that it'll say about 1 to 2 cups per hour that you're out hiking. But then you add Arizona to that, and then you see about 1 liter, which is maybe 2 to 4 times as much. Water is important, but far more important is what our greatest need is. As we not just hike, but we journey this life, we need the water of life. Jesus spoke to that woman at the well, and he said, "The one who believes in me will have springs of living water welling up to eternal life." That's the kind of water we need. And that's what we see as we look at God's word this morning in Romans chapter 5, how even at the start of our journey, through the hard parts of our journey in life, and even unto the very end, we will have plenty supply because of what God has poured out to us with living water, with his word, and with his spirit. We're going to see that as we look at Romans chapter 1, or chapter 5 this morning, starting at verse 1. And there it tells us at the past, at the very start, we began our journey of faith with plenty of water. It says, we have been justified. Think about that as you start out in life's journey, that you've been declared innocent of all sin and all wrong. You've been justified. It says, through faith, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Just that sentence tells you, as you set out on the journey of your Christian life, you know you're at peace with God, and it's not something you've earned. We have just been justified through faith. We have peace with God, it says, through our Lord Jesus. That peace you have as you walk about in this life comes because Jesus walked in your place, as we heard last week. And since we have peace with God as we go on our journey, Paul says, we don't have to worry. We have access to God. You have been justified. You have peace with God and have access to approach him in grace. And actually, the description of grace is like this umbrella. So you're covered from the scorching heat. You're covered from the accusations of the devil. As you walk this life, you have the water of life that not only brings you peace, but it protects you. He says we have this access before God into this grace in which we now stand. Doesn't matter where you're standing under God's undeserved love, his sphere of protection, his grace. It's like you have this umbrella of grace covering you. So far, we're pretty good on our journey. We have access to God. We've been justified. We have peace. We stand in grace. And then Paul says, and so in this, we rejoice. And not only do we rejoice as we start out on our journey in faith, Paul says, more than that, we rejoice even in our afflictions, our sufferings. You could probably guess why you need so much water when you're hiking in Arizona. There's a little bit more sun than some other places. It's pretty dry. The temperature can get pretty high, and the terrain can get pretty rough and rocky and uneven, and the elevation can change a lot. That's how our spiritual walk is. Without God's peace and without his hope and without all that God has given us, we would never survive the temptations, the attack, the afflictions that we face, the trials of life. But Paul says, since you have Christ and you've gained access and you have this umbrella of grace covering you and you've got peace with God, you can rejoice on your journey, even as you face suffering. And then Paul kind of makes a chain of events. Because we've got hope, we can rejoice in suffering, which produces perseverance. That's bearing up under trials. I'm sure that most of you have faced some sort of trial in your Christian walk. And that trial causes you to bear up under it over God's determined amount of time. Paul says that perseverance produces character. Character is kind of like an impression, a mark, that you're steady in your walk, that you're not simply wavering to the side, to the right, or the left, because you're walking with Christ and you have his grace and his peace. As you endure trials, you're being molded into God's image, into his likeness as you walk in faith and in peace. And then Paul says, and character leads back to hope. Because you got the mind of Christ and the trust you have in your God, that impression is there on your heart. That whatever trials come, as you're rejoicing, you're looking forward to hope. And then the end of our journey. We've looked at the start of our journey. We have all we need. Throughout our journey, we have the strength and the provision we need. And he says, as we look to the hope of the glory of God, at the end of the trail is what God has promised. The glory of God contains everything that God has promised you. You will not lie in the dust, dry and dead. You will be raised. And the hope of the glory of God is that we will live in a perfect creation where we can walk and not grow weary, where we can forever walk with our God and live with Him. The hope of the glory of God is a new creation and forever every affliction gone behind us, living in paradise with our God. This is our journey, as Paul describes it, because of what we have in Christ. And then it concludes, we know we have this glory. And here's the beautiful picture. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts. How do we walk in faith throughout our life in afflictions and in trials and hold on to hope? God's poured out His love into your heart. He says, by His Spirit He's done this. You received His word in the gospel. And that word of the gospel has been poured out into your heart to know God's love. And that's what gives you strength. It's not water that we need. No, we need the love of God to carry us through our journey. And Paul wouldn't have us go any further on this reading without knowing, what does he mean by that love that's been poured out? Is this some sort of special water, as the woman at the well said, give me this water so that I can drink? God's going to describe for us that love that he's poured into our hearts. As Paul says, God demonstrates his love that at the right time, when we were helpless, Christ died for sinners. That's the kind of love God gave us. We weren't those that God saw and said, you know what, they can do it on their own, but they just need a little nudge. We were helpless, starving of spiritual thirst, ready to die under the weight of sin, our own sin, ready to face the curse and the fires of hell. We were helpless. But God poured out his love into your heart. You know, I heard an interesting article just this past week of some friends. They were really close friends, and they liked to go out shed hunting as they were looking for antlers of elk or other animals that were dropped on the trail. And they were on a journey where they were about, I don't know, I think it was somewhere 10 to 20 miles out on their hike, and it was somewhere near Yellowstone. And these two friends had become very close friends so that they did a lot of things together, and they loved each other and supported one another. One of those friends stepped in something which he recognized as bear scat. And he said, bear. But before his friend could even look his way, the bear was already on him, and it was patting him with his arms and tossing him like he was a tennis ball, rolling him on the ground. Now that friend, who was a few yards away, could have thought, you know, there's nothing I can do, because he didn't have a gun, he didn't have anything like bear spray where he could stop this bear. And he knew when a grizzly started attacking and was defending its cubs, there was nothing you could do. And yet, being the friend he was, he jumped on the top of that bear on its back, and he started tugging at the fur on that bear, finally getting it away from pawing at his friends. And he himself then hopped off the back of the bear and ran off, desperately trying to escape now that he saw the bear was off his friend. Turns out after the whole ordeal was done, both of them suffered traumatic injuries, left for dead by that grizzly bear, and they were bleeding and injured with broken bones. Even later on, as reconstructive surgery was done, they found chunks of the bear and its tooth in them. But they survived. That one friend saved his friend. I don't know about you, but I can't picture myself willingly wanting to jump on the top of a ferocious grizzly bear, knowing what they can do. Well, Paul says, someone might possibly dare to do that. For a good man, maybe a friend, someone might choose to die. Or perhaps for a righteous person or righteous cause, someone might choose to perhaps give their life. But God didn't see us as a friend. He says, God demonstrates his love, the love he's poured out in our hearts for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, for you, for me. Do you have a friend who loves you? It's a friend who didn't see you as someone that was a good friend. He saw you as a sinner, not someone he ought to die for, but he died for you. And he poured out his love for you so that you might be rescued, not from a mere grizzly bear, but from the death and thirst that was upon us and the grisly effects of sin and its curse. He rescued you and he rescued me and he rescued this world of sinners. And God poured out that message of love into your heart, that you have that kind of a friend, someone far more than a friend, the Son of God who came down to rescue you. And because we have that, we can rejoice as he pours out his love into our hearts, we who now have been justified, declared not guilty. We are at peace with God, and we have access to God, and we stand under this grace because of Christ. And because of his Spirit who pours that gospel love into our hearts, we don't need water. We need that water of life. And that will carry us in our past, our present, and to the glory that is to come. Amen.